The Environment Minister, Melissa Price, has given federal sign-off for the Adani Carmichael Mines groundwater management plan. The decision was always going to be controversial, but the very public pressure placed on her by National Party MPs has Labor and the Greens asking whether she was bullied. Queensland LNP Senator James McGrath had threatened to publicly call for Melissa Price's resignation, according to a report in the Courier Mail, if the approval wasn't granted before the government entered caretaker mode. The Shadow Assistant Treasurer Andrew Lee told me a little earlier it raises serious questions.
I think many experts are now expecting that decision will come under legal challenge because of this extraordinary intervention by one of her colleagues saying that he would call on her to resign if she didn't make the decision. That then throws her decision into contest.
All right, we haven't seen this report, of course, but the Queensland State Government has and says a number of uncertainties remain. Do we need to see this report? Should it be publicly released?
Yes, I believe so. Adani, as I understand it, needs to go through about 16 environmental approval processes. 25 environmental processes, of which 16 have been concluded. So there's a number of additional environmental approvals still to go through for a project which economically is pretty tenuous. Let's not forget that the big banks declined to back it, that world coal demand has declined some 8% since 2014 when it peaked. So this is a thermal coal project, putting more thermal coal into a market where global demand is tailing off.
Labor has always said this project had to stack up environmentally. If the experts say it does, then will it have your support?
Oh, Tony Burke, if he's the Environment Minister, will need to make a decision under the Act. And anyone who's expecting Tony Burke to prejudge that decision is calling for the sort of legal challenge that we've spoken about a moment ago.
You described some negatives with this project. I'm getting the strong indication that you're not a huge fan of the Adani coal mine.
No, I certainly wouldn't say I'm its biggest barracker. What I would say, though, is that when you hear those, say, from the Greens political party saying that Tony Burke should just come out and say he's against Adani, they're people who know full well that an environment minister who said before an election that they would block a project regardless would immediately then be putting themselves in the position of making an unlawful decision. That's not just theoretical. We know that from 2004 when the Howard government said before an election that it would block, in that case, a renewable energy project, and then when they did so after the election, that decision was found to be invalid under the EPBC Act.
So you said you're not its biggest fan. Why aren't you its biggest fan?
Well, I mentioned before the economics. It's a project which is selling into a declining market. The private sector has been very reluctant to back it. Adani originally was asking for taxpayer money. The coalition has been toying with the idea of putting $1 billion of taxpayer money into this project. Labor said we don't believe that's appropriate. We need to diversify the economic base of the North. And that's why we would invest instead in tourism and projects in Northern Australia. We think that's a much better use than the Northern Australia Infrastructure Fund.
And that's Labor frontbencher Andrew Lee. Christian Slattery is a senior Stop Adani campaigner at the Australian Conservation Foundation, and he joins me on Drive. Welcome.
Thanks, Patricia.
You've accused the government of rushing through this decision, but the Environment Minister has been considering a CSIRO Geoscience Australia report on the plan for the last 4 weeks. Where is your evidence that this has been rushed?
Well, let's look at the timeline. The CSIRO report was given to the Federal Environment Department in February. Then last week we have revelations that there's been political interference at the highest levels involving Matthew Canavan, Lucas Dow, the Adani Mining CEO, and other national MPs from Queensland running around the halls of Parliament and putting pressure on Minister Price to sign off on this plan. And then the very next day, on Friday last week, the CSIRO meet with the Environment Department and send a one-page letter to that environment to the Environment Department, saying that the concerns that they'd raised in an extensive report back in February have been more or less resolved. So I think there are serious questions about the process that's gone on here, and about what pressure has been placed on Minister Price.
Okay, but
to approve
you mentioned this,
plan. This
letter from the Environment Department. Are you also suggesting that the Environment Department, that's the independent bureaucrats, have been politically pressured?
Well, I think there are questions to answer. I know estimates. Is on Thursday.
Senator Smith will claim to say that bureaucrats are acting in a politically motivated way.
Well, look, I think there are questions to answer. I'm not putting forward any accusations at this stage, but I do think that given the interference that is on the public record from last week, there are questions that need to be answered. The CSIRO will be before Senate Estimates on Thursday, and hopefully we'll get some answers to those questions then.
The CSIRO Geoscience Australia report was looking at the impact of the mine, on what impact it would have on underground water aquifers. What were they trying to determine?
There's a number of questions that have been outstanding about Adani's groundwater plans for the many years that this project's been proposed for. In particular, what the source aquifer is of the Dungmabulla Springs complex. And that's a protected, culturally and ecologically significant mound spring to the west of the Carmichael mine site. There are many scientists who are concerned that if Adani's mine were to go ahead, it would result in the permanent drying up of those springs.
In a statement, the minister says the report supports the approval, but that's not what the report says if you read it. Is her conclusion a reasonable one?
We have very strong concerns about the conclusion that Minister Price has reached. And just to quote a line from that CSIRO report that the minister's relying on, the CSIRO report says a number of limitations were also identified in Adani's proposed monitoring and management approaches, indicating they are not sufficiently robust to monitor and minimise impacts to protected environments. So that was part of the 63-page report that that CSIRO and Geoscience Australia provided the Environment Department with on the 22nd of February. Minister Price has seen fit to sign off on this plan this week, I think does raise questions about the integrity of that process.
One of the key criticisms in the report is that the modelling that they've been given was not sufficient to properly assess the impact that the mine would have. Is this surprising given how high the stakes are?
It is surprising, particularly that given that Adani have been asked on numerous occasions by the federal and state governments to provide this data to the environment departments. Adani's mine puts at risk huge volumes of Queensland's groundwater. It will draw down 270 billion litres across the life of the mine. It's simply too great a risk to be risking a quick decision, tick and flick, on the eve of a federal election.
To be clear, the report doesn't say the project shouldn't go ahead. It says they don't have enough information to make a proper assessment.
That's correct. But that information should absolutely be gathered before a decision such as this is taken.
Okay. The Australian Conservation Foundation that you represent has been threatening a legal challenge to this approval. Will you challenge in court?
Well, look, Patricia, court action's a really big deal. We're a charity that survives on donations and donations from our supporters. And we'll make a considered decision once we've got all of the evidence before us and based on advice that we receive from our lawyers. But it is sufficient, I think, to say that we've got big questions about the integrity of this process and we're going to be looking into it.
So when are you going to make this decision about whether it's worth challenging? Because even Andrew Lee from Labor said, oh, now it could be up to challenge. This is what we keep hearing, challenge, challenge, challenge. When will we know?
Oh, I couldn't preempt that on your program, unfortunately, Patricia.
Okay, but it's still a live option that you're pursuing?
Yes, absolutely. I think there's been sufficient coverage in the last few days. The Environment Defenders Office Queensland, I've heard on the radio, also asking similar questions. I think really what this comes back to is the fact that the level of pressure that's been applied on Minister Price, reportedly Matthew Canavan threatening to resign, reportedly Senator James McGrath threatening to put out a press release calling for Minister Price's resignation.
Well, Matt Canavan denies that he threatened to resign, just to be clear, and James McGrath wouldn't comment on the reports, but he didn't deny them, to be clear. He didn't deny them, but he also wouldn't confirm them. Look, the Queensland government has yet to sign off on this plan. They say there are many uncertainties contained here. Do you accept this mine is still a long way from being approved?
Absolutely. Adani's mine isn't a done deal. There are at least 9 further federal and state approvals that are required before Adani can start mining, including state approval for this groundwater plan and state approval for the black-throated finch management plan. And ACF currently has a case before the federal court challenging Minister Price's decision not to apply the water trigger to Adani's surface water pipeline.
Just finally, on a political level, because of course the Stop Adani campaign isn't just focused on, you know, the Adani plan. It's also a very political campaign. How do you plan to run it on the ground? What seats are you targeting? Has this decision today changed that strategy at all?
Well, we're going to make the next election the climate election, and that's because Australians over the last summer have experienced unprecedented bushfires, floods, droughts and heat waves, and we want every party running for the next election to have credible policies to deal with climate change, and that includes a policy to stop digging up and burning coal. Adani's coal mine isn't compatible with a safe climate, and the next Australian government must have a plan to stop it.
You didn't answer my question. What seats are you targeting?
Well, the Australian Conservation Foundation, who I represent, and I can answer that question for, we're working in three key seats this next election. We're working in the seat of Bonner in Queensland, Chisholm in Melbourne, and McNamara, the former seat of Melbourne Ports in Melbourne as well.
Okay, and what sort of campaign will you run there? Is it going to be anti-LNP campaign, or what sort of challenge are you placing on Labor as well in those campaigns? Well, because, you know, they're also not really declaring ultimately how they'll go on Adani.
Yeah, well, we've been out door knocking in those seats for almost 6 months now. We're having thousands of conversations with voters, but we're an independent charity. We're providing an assessment of the party's policies, an independent assessment of the party's policies based on the policies that we believe are required to take strong climate action and to protect our environment and natural world.
Christian, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, my pleasure.
Christian Slattery is a senior Stop Adani campaigner at the Australian Conservation Foundation, and they're still weighing up whether they may, basically launch that legal challenge